This week brings a crossroads for the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day, and in this case, the week. This week, we get the government's report on U.S. unemployment, that monthly snapshot, and it is the last jobs picture we're going to get before the election. It'll also help the Federal Reserve decide which way to take us. Before we go there, where's Wall Street? Stocks are on pause this morning with the Dow Industrials up 15 points. That's a tenth of a percent or so at 10,845. The NASDAQ, though, is off a tiny fraction, and the S&P 500 is up a tiny fraction. Today I've been thinking of The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy reaches the crossroads and the scarecrow can't decide which way she should go. I'll leave that thought there for a moment while I introduce senior U.S. economist Julia Coronado at BNP Paribas. She joins us live from New York. Hi, Julia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. I don't want to call Ben Bernanke a scarecrow, but, you know, he's up there trying to scare away another recession, and he's deciding which way to go. Julia, tell us why this week is so important for that decision.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, we get the employment report for September, and it is the last really significant data reading before the Fed meets to decide what to do in a couple of weeks. And what we've seen is the economy really getting stuck in a rut lately, and it was something that the New York Fed president called wholly unacceptable on Friday. So they're really looking for indications that we're getting unstuck and that they may not need to do something. Otherwise, I think they're going to move forward.
Wholly unacceptable, Batman. And the Federal Reserve is the big game now, right, Julia? Because no one's expecting much from the politicians before the election.
Absolutely. I mean, we've heard lots of proposals over the last few weeks from the president, from the Republicans. But really, realistically, nothing gets done until after the election. And even then, we're going to have a lame duck session until January. So probably not a lot of progress can be expected on the political front.
And quickly, Julia, what are basically the risks of the Fed overreacting now or underreacting?
Well, the risks of underreacting are that if the Fed doesn't do anything and the unemployment rate continues to rise, then we could move towards a double dip recession. We don't seem to be there or close to there now. But again, if the unemployment rate is rising, then people start losing faith in the recovery and retrenching and pulling back.
And overreacting, Julia?
And overreacting, I think the Fed risks losing its credibility. If the Fed acts and it doesn't work, then what good is the Fed? I mean, then we start seeing people lose faith in the dollar as a store of value. We start to see interest rates rising, making it more expensive to borrow.
Okay.
So there are risks on both sides for sure.
Julia Coronado at BNP Paribas, thank you.
My pleasure.
Attention Verizon customers, if you've complained about strange fees for data use on your cell phone bill, the company can hear you now. Verizon announced this morning it owes millions of customers a refund. Marketplace's Eve Tro is here to tell us why. Good morning.
Good morning.
Verizon admits it was overcharging customers. What for?
Well, about 2 years ago, Verizon customers started to complain about these mystery fees on their bills. A few dollars here, a few dollars there. These were data charges, but the people doing the complaining didn't have data plans. They weren't set up to search the internet or check email on their phones. So they shouldn't have had to pay those charges, but Verizon refused to take them off the bill. The Federal Communications Commission started looking into it last year. Now Verizon says, oh yeah, we messed up.
Messed up. What happened?
Well, they say that software that was built into people's phones automatically got on the internet when they touched this one button, and that triggered the charges. And maybe someone got online even though they didn't have a data plan, and the phone let them watch a video or something, then they got charged. But, you know, people who closed the program right away said, oh, oops, they also got charged. Verizon says, hey, that wasn't supposed to happen. It won't happen anymore, and we're going to give you your money back.
And how much money is that?
Quite a bit. Verizon expects to give back up to $90 million. That's divided between 15 million customers. Most of the refunds are just in the $2 to $6 range, but the FCC is still looking into this. They are looking at how wireless companies are getting a lot more money from going online, and they're watching it more closely.
That's Marketplace's Eve Tro. Eve, thank you.
Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
French pharmaceutical giant Sanofi Aventis launched a hostile takeover bid today for a smaller American biotech. Genzyme is developing drugs to treat high cholesterol and rare genetic disorders. Sanofi's bid values Genzyme at $18.5 billion. But why has Sanofi decided to pounce now when one of Genzyme's most promising drugs is yet to be licensed? The BBC's Rebecca Singer has that.
Genzyme is developing drugs at the forefront of scientific research. It already sells medicines to treat rare genetic disorders that have been very successful. And that's attractive to big pharmaceuticals searching for the next blockbuster drug. One of those contenders could be Genzyme's experimental drug for multiple sclerosis, which is yet to be approved. Dr. Stephen Godwin is from the independent market research firm Synovate Healthcare. He says if the drug's successful, Sanofi Aventis will have got a great deal.
Genzyme probably has 25, 30, 35 projects, everything from early phase to late phase. So it's not, in a sense, a problem that these projects are in development. In fact, that's the opportunity.
But Godwin says there's a lot of risk associated with spending as much as $1 billion on developing a drug. Until it's officially released to the market, there's no guarantee the company will make its money back. Sanofi Aventis says it's gone directly to shareholders after Genzyme refused its initial advances, and those shareholders will now have until December to decide if they like the bid. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Finally, this marketing campaign from the security firm ADT. In Santiago, Chile, the company is slipping a flattened box under people's doors. Once it's under there, the box springs up to full size and bears the message, "Breaking into your apartment is easier than you think." So great marketing if you like being creeped out by your own security company. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.